You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Maybe it was the last fight, or maybe it was something that happened, maybe infidelity or some other event. But many times I hear people, when they talk about what happened to their marriage, point to a single event. They point to this the event, and they believe that that event is what ended their marriage. And they get very focused on that one event. So a lot of times I hear people say, well, you know, my spouse wants to leave me. Yes, I was unfaithful. And that's where she changed her mind, or he changed his mind. And I don't understand how to get beyond that event. And sometimes I hear about that big fight. You know, my spouse has said, that's it. I'm not going to have any more of these arguments. I'm leaving you because of that fight. And sometimes they don't even say because of that fight. Sometimes they just say, I'm leaving you. And it's at the end of a fight or at the end of some other bungled interaction, some mistake along the way. And somehow those events begin to be the belief that that is what caused the whole crisis. Those nodal moments, those tipping point events begin to be held as the reason why the marriage is failing. And there's a fundamental problem with that. If you get focused on an event, you're missing the possibility for what needs to happen in order to save a marriage. You're getting focused on something that is an event, something that is in a moment in time, but not the process of how you got to that point. So we can talk about this as the tipping point, or we can talk about it as the last straw. And I like both of those images because they hold something in our mind, but they miss all the other pieces of that puzzle and all of the other straws that happened before that. Let's talk first about that image of the tipping point. One of those images I carry with me from childhood is from the book and the movie or the TV show, The Grinch, right? The Christmas time show. And if you remember, The Grinch has decided to steal Christmas. And so The Grinch has gone into the village and stolen all of the properties and loading it up on all the Christmas properties and presents and decorations and loaded it up on the back of the sled. And that poor dog has to pull that sled up the mountain, up and up and up and up they go. And the Grinch is so caught up in the fact that he's succeeded at his plan to steal Christmas that the Grinch doesn't realize that they're coming to the top, the precipice of that mountaintop, the summit of that moment. And so they've been climbing and climbing and climbing. That poor dog has been whipped and pushed and is pulling that up. And then they get to that place, and then the dog flips over the other side, and you see that sled just kind of moving back and forth, teetering on the top of that summit. And finally, they start down the hill, and there's a tipping point when that sled grabs hold and takes off and chases down the dog. And you see that moment when it all changes. All that uphill slog suddenly begins to be a tipping point, a changeover. And I always think about that balancing point, that moment. Now, the Grinch wanted that moment to happen, the tipping point, and the Grinch is trying to make that sled go over so he can get away with all of the stuff, all the Christmas stuff that he'd stolen. But I think about those moments when they are tipping points, and we keep pointing to them as those problem situations. Not long ago, I was talking with a person who was not going to be able to return to college because of grades. And I was talking to this person, and they were talking about how, you know, the parents were not going to let him go back because they had failed too many classes and they weren't going to be able to go back. And they were very frustrated and disappointed and didn't understand why their parents wouldn't give him another try. And I said, can I ask you a question? Are those grades representative of your work this whole semester? And this college student said, well, yeah, I guess so. And I said, is this an indication of your commitment to being in college? And the person protested that that wasn't the case. And yet the grades were representing just that. And I said, you know, did you have a good time this semester? Were you busy doing stuff? Did you have parties? Did you maybe do a little more social stuff than maybe study stuff? And he said, well, yeah, I probably did. And so I said, you know, your grades And the final grades really are the tipping point. But I wonder if what your parents are looking at is the process of how you got there. And they're using the grades, so you're hearing the grades because they're an indicator. They're a moment in time. They're a symptom of what's been happening the whole semester. Well, that's the same thing that happens in any place in life where we have that moment, that tipping point that pushes us over the edge. Maybe you have in a job and finally you've had enough and there's one more time when your boss is unfair to you, and that's the tipping point when you quit right there. Or maybe you have been going to a restaurant and the restaurant used to be good and it keeps getting not so good and the service is getting not so good and the food's not tasting so good. And there's something, some moment, maybe they didn't cook your food right, or maybe you got, you know, the chicken was a little bit too raw. Something happened and you go, wait, I've had it. I am not going back. That's the tipping point. And we all have these tipping points. The other way of talking about this as the last straw. The last straw is a term you hear all the time. People say, oh, that's the last straw. And that comes from that great image of the straw that broke the camel's back. And the idea is, and I've tracked it down, and it goes back for at least 1677 was the first time that I could find any reference to a similar saying. And so it's got a lot of history to it. But, you know, when you're loading up any animal, and I've heard the phrase said about feathers on a horse's back and stuff on a donkey's back and straw on that camel's back. And so there are all these ways of us thinking about that when you're loading up something and you keep on adding it on. And so just think about this for that camel. You're putting on the straw. That camel's got to haul that straw across the desert, and you keep on putting that straw on and you keep on putting it on. And at some point, you put one more piece of straw, just one more piece of straw, and the back gives. The camel can't carry anymore. Maybe the camel just lies down and gives up. But at some point, it immobilizes that camel. And it's just that one piece of straw, right? It's just that one more piece. And the problem is that's the straw. You know, that's the piece that did it. And so part of what happens is we get stuck in that. Think of the image. Maybe you like me, I'm sitting here with a cup of coffee beside me and you're filling it up. And so the saying is the last drop makes the cup run over. You know, you keep putting in coffee and keep putting in coffee, but there is a limit. And at some point you put a little too much and over the side it goes. Not only does that one drop go over the side, but sometimes it pulls some more over the side too, just by physics. And so there is that point when something isn't capable of holding anymore. And then we look at that place where we go, oh, it's the straw. Oh, it's the drop. Oh, it's that one more tipping point, that one place. And we tend to see this as the event, not an event, not the one that finally brought everything together, but the event. There's often this breaking point, a wake-up call, some event that is the turning point in a marriage where somebody says, I'm done. Now, notice that there are lots of these turning points in relationships. At some point, you know, you're dating and you're getting along and things are going well. And then there's something that makes a shift. And I often hear about the things, you know, maybe somebody went away for a while and you realize how much you missed them. Or maybe there was that extra little moment where you saw them do something nice. I've heard many stories of people saying, well, you know, I was watching this person and they didn't know I was watching. And I watched how they cared for a child, or I watched how they cared for an animal, or I watched how they cared for their parents or some other event. And I realized that was the person for me. It wasn't that moment. It was the build up to that moment. And that moment just kind of cemented it, solidified it. It ends up being a turning point. Turning points, breaking points. They are those moments when something shifts. You might not be able to even point to why it shifts, but there's a shift that happens there when everything suddenly changes. So why does that matter? Well, it matters in your process of saving your marriage, because sometimes those turning points are seen as the focus, the moments. You have a big fight, and so now you're trying to get back from that big fight. Or there's an act of infidelity, and you're trying to solve that act of infidelity. Or there is some other indiscretion. Maybe there are some hidden funds somewhere, or hidden expenses somewhere, or something that is that moment, and you're trying to fix that piece. The problem is when we're trying to fix the piece, we're missing the bigger piece underneath it. That those pieces, those moments, those turning moments, those pieces of straw, those drops in the coffee cup, they are not the reasons that things broke, but they're the culmination. They're the last piece. We had this model about how stress affects people. And I believe that this is a very relative piece, that it's not an event. It's not something that finally stresses you out. It's the fact that we all have a certain amount we can handle before we're at overwhelm. And so it's not that piece. It's the fact that there were those other pieces that kind of filled up your stress level to the point where something else just needed to hit it and boil it over. And that's so true in all of our lives. It's not that one moment. In fact, if you look at our biology, that seems to be the true about lots of things. I hear many people talk about what's a poisonous dosage or something, because you can take in a lot of poisons in your body and it not be toxic to your system until it goes high enough. And then suddenly it's all toxic. It suddenly the buildup is so much that it gets there. So you may, for instance, have mercury in your body and it just is background. It may be slowing you down a little bit. It may be affecting your system, but it's just background until there's just enough to trigger it and there's a cascade of events in your body reacts to the toxins. It's the same with a relationship. There's a lot of buildup, a lot of moments of disconnection, a lot of moments of frustration and anger and hurt that build up until there's one last event. And here's where it gets interesting, because usually one person is aware of that. It's the final event for them, and the other person is blissfully unaware, thinking they've just had yet one more of those arguments that they keep having. They've just had yet one more of those setbacks that they have consistently had over the years, and they don't think anything has changed, and yet everything changes, because it's not all of the background. They're just seeing that as a continuation. The other person is seeing it as the straw, the drop, that big piece that changed everything, the tipping point of the relationship. Almost always, those nodal events are not really the issue. They are an issue, but they're almost always a symptom. They're an event. They're a symptom, but they're not the event. They're not the problem. They are symptomology. For instance, let's talk about infidelity. I've talked about this, and you can find other podcasts that I've done on infidelity and how to recover from infidelity. And one of my fundamental beliefs about infidelity is there has to be a background to it, with one exception. And that exception is somewhat rare, and that is if somebody has an addictive relationship with relationships or sex. If they have some addictive nature to them, then they may be really kind of dominated by that and not be so much a relational thing. But let's set that aside for a minute, and let's talk about the normal. The normal is that we typically watch people who are disconnected, who have affairs. And so there's been a continual disconnection and a continual neglect of the relationship and of each other, and that builds up. And it doesn't matter who started it or where it came from, but they have disconnected along the way. And that leaves a vulnerability in the relationship. The reason it leaves a vulnerability is because we humans are built to be in relationship. We humans are built to be in connection. And when we are not, we risk finding other places for that connection. We risk finding other places to fill that in. And so then if we don't have boundaries to protect the relationship, then we might fall into an outside relationship that fools somebody into thinking this is love, when it really is an infatuation and a filling in of a lost feeling that's not there. So it's a good way of looking at it around what happens with infidelity, because when infidelity happens, suddenly the focus is on that event. Suddenly the focus is on the unfaithfulness, not the background that got it there. And you can't deal with the action. You can't get beyond the action until you face what was behind it as the climb up the summit. The tipping point may be that affair, but the summit climb was what both people did in their disconnection over time. So almost always the symptoms people point to, those big fights, those infidelities, those indiscretions, those bungled interactions, those secrets revealed, they are not the real reasons. They're the last straw. They're the last drop in the cup. they the breaking point, the tipping point, however you want to think of it, they are that point. If you've ever tried to break a piece of metal, you might find that it's really hard to bend once, but it doesn't break. And then you bend it again and it doesn't break. But a fault line is beginning to develop. And if you keep wiggling it back and forth, and I've done this many times with coat hangers, you know, we'll be out camping and we need to cook some marshmallows over the fire for s'mores. And so I'll grab a coat hanger and I'll start wiggling it back and forth. And at first it's really hard. At first, it's kind of a challenge, and then it gets easier and easier and easier, and maybe even gets a little heated up as it goes on. But if I keep wiggling it back and forth, it's going to break. I don't know when it's going to break. I don't know what the process is exactly, but it is going to break. And I know that with experience, and you can probably relate to that. Well, it's the same with a relationship. The bends, the bends, the bends, the bends, and suddenly it snaps. And we look at the snap and go, wow, it failed, right? That coat hanger, it broke in half. What happened? Well, I'd been wiggling it back and forth for some time. So there's no surprise that it finally happened. And it's the same with a relationship. There's no surprise that when we get lost in this, when we don't focus on the climb up the summit, the straw that's been piled on the camel already, the coffee that's already been put in the cup, the places where we're approaching the tipping point, the last straw, the breaking point, the place where that cup overflows, we miss the opportunity for changing this. So that's why it's important to not get sucked into the tipping point, the last straw, as the reason why things have broken down. When that gets the focus, the issues behind it are ignored, leaving no room for healing in the relationship. And if the relationship is going to make it, it's got to find its healing place. There's got to be a healing and a reconnection there. And rarely does that healing or reconnection ever get moved forward by the process of pointing to the last straw. The last straw begins to be our focus because it's easier to point to, and it's more fun to point to in some ways because it relieves both people of responsibility. So what do you do about that? Well, I would suggest that there really are three things to do about that. First, always see events as symptoms. Whenever we get away from seeing events as symptoms, we're closer to that last straw. We're dealing with the straw instead of what are the other pieces of this? Maybe you got a camel that already had a weak back and you can't take as much straw, but there's something else behind there. Always look at events as symptoms and ask, what is this telling me about the background? What is this telling me about what's underneath it? So that fight you're having, it's a symptom. One of my interesting things over the years is I'll ask people what the first fight they had. They'll come into my office and they're at each other's throats. They're angry with each other, hurt with each other. And I'll say, what's the first fight? I mean, the real fight, not the disagreements about where you should eat out or what movie you should watch or anything like that. But the real fights, the ones where you went, what am I doing here? Everybody's got a story about that. And usually the couple can both say, this is what it is. And what I notice is that that story, that fight, is the same fight they're having now. It's just got a different varnish on it, a different color paint on it. It's the same fight because they never solved what was below it. They're dealing with the symptoms of the fight, but they're never getting to the issue of the fight. So my challenge is to ask, what is this event? What are the symptoms? What is it? How is it a symptom of what's underneath it? So always see events. Always see events as symptoms and ask, what is this a symptom of? It's kind of like when a child comes to you and they have a fever. That's the symptom of an infection. So what's the infection you're looking at? What's not the fever that you focus on, but the symptom? And what's interesting about this, let's even take this fever on as one of those. A lot of times what we immediately try to do is stomp out that fever. You know, a child comes in, they got a fever, and the first thing we do is try to stomp it out. Now, there is a danger of that fever spiking too high, but we also know that a fever is the body's way of fighting an infection. And so if we ameliorate that fever, if we take away the fever and don't deal with anything underneath it, it actually might allow that infection to continue longer than necessary just because we're not dealing with what's underneath it. Yes, there is a time to get rid of the fever and make somebody comfortable, but it needs to be seen as a symptom of something underneath. So somebody has a fever and to go, oh, well, they have a fever. Let's give them something for that fever is different than saying they have a fever. I wonder what's behind that and what do we do about that? to number one, see events as symptoms, because then you know that you're trying to address not the symptom, but the underlying piece. Number two, that requires you to accept your responsibility and work towards healing it. Now, I'm not saying that you accept responsibility for everything that's gone wrong in your marriage and everything that's gone wrong with everything in life, but the place where you are responsible for what's gone wrong. And we all have those moments where we have some responsibility in how we've reacted, what we've done, how we maybe even initiated it. And our love in life is to start the story after our place of responsibility, to point the finger and say, well, you did this. And there's always a precursor to that that usually brings us into some level of responsibility. So the second thing is to accept your responsibility and work to heal your role in the process. And number three is don't argue the straws. In other words, don't get caught up in trying to prove why that straw shouldn't have been the last thing. Don't argue about what that straw really was. Don't argue about the straw. Seek to understand what's underneath it and deal with that underlying piece. Now, you may have to mention the straw to get there. I'm not saying to ignore the straw, but don't argue the straw. Don't make that your focus. Don't make that your place where that tipping point begins to be your only focus and you walk around trying to figure out how to solve the tipping point, the last straw, the last drop. Focus on what's underneath it. Focus on where things have gotten out of hand already, where things have already gotten unhealthy, and begin to solve that. And remember, the primary place is connection. The secondary place is your own growth. And the third place is not knowing even where to go to. Now, if all of that makes sense to you and you say, yeah, I don't know how to do this connection thing, and I'm really not sure what you mean by a different route, a different way of going somewhere, let me invite you to grab the Save the Marriage System. A lot of people say, you know, I've really gotten so much out of this podcast and they want more. And the more is the system. That is the starting place of saying, okay, I've got to not just kind of understand the background, but I've got to move into this and really figure out how to tackle this. I've got a link to a couple of other podcasts, and at the bottom of those links, it's in the show notes, right underneath the related podcast or related information, you're going to find a link to the Save the Marriage System. If you do not have the system, please try it. Please, let's work together to get away from the symptoms. Let's work to get away from the last straw, the last drop, the tipping point, and get to what's underneath it all. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.